They both knew, I mean, they're very good friends. They both knew they'll be speaking at this conference. But they didn't know they'll be speaking together. And I said one of the things God instructed me in this conference is we have each sessions in twos. And we try to pair anointings, all right, so that we can push something within those sessions there. So I know these two men are in perfect agreement, perfect alignment. As the Bible says, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered. You don't want Paul to plant and Apollos to scatter. Because then there will be no increase. So you bring people that are in agreement together who understand their spirit and are in alignment. That's why I'm just saying this so people will know. All right. That's why I put people together that I know have the same thrust and emphasis in ministry. So let us welcome from Zimbabwe, Bishop Theodore Bisma.
Can you show some love to your pastor? That's not enough love. Show some love, y'all. It's always an honor and a privilege for me to be around Mensa Otterbo. We've known each other for many years, and I don't know why you put me behind him today. First Lady, it's good to see you. You have an incredible ministry, an incredible church. Amen. I'm going to speak to you on the subject, the inevitability of change. The inevitability of change. You may be seated. I'm in Joshua chapter number 1 and verse 2. Tammy, I need my phone so I can time myself. I asked for a phone and I got a bag. I wonder what would happen if I asked for a bag. Joshua chapter number 1, verse 2. We're going to do 48 minutes. Is that good? All right. Clock starts now. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and under the great sea, Mediterranean Sea, towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life to resist you. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you. I will not fail you. I will not fail you.
Amen.
I will not forsake you.
Amen.
This is mind-blowing for God to speak to a man in this manner. Only you must be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all that is in the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn from it to the right and to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from out of your mouth, but you will meditate therein night and day to observe to do all that is written therein. Then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you to be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's amazing. Then Joshua commanded his officers of the people, saying, pass through the host of the people, command them, saying, prepare your supplies, your food supplies, because in 3 days, everyone say 3 days.
3 days.
In 3 days, you're passing over Jordan to possess the land. What it took Moses 40 years to do, Joshua, you are going to do it in 3 days. Everyone say 3 days.
3 days.
Father, add a blessing to this word in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Change is a reality in life. You're changing right now. When you came into the service this morning, you were one person. After listening to the wisdom of Dr. Otterbull, change has taken place in your life.
Amen.
By the end of this conference, you will be a totally different person. Because change is constant. I was watching some of the news reports of those horrendous fires in California. The fires have not spared celebrities versus individuals that are humble. It's just no respecter of persons. And some of those folks, their lives are changed forever. Changed forever. There are certain things that cannot be replaced. But change in the body of Christ and in the church is inevitable. For every one of us, I hate to say it this way, but we are born to die. At some point, we're going to have to say adios, amigo. And so what contingency plans have you made? We live our lives as if we're going to be here forever. Taxes, these are a reality. Just down in Zimbabwe is crazy. Unemployment has always been, at least from shortly after independence, unemployment has been over 90% in Zimbabwe. But Zimbabweans are very industrious, hardworking, innovative individuals. But instead of lowering the taxes, they've increased the taxes. So even if you go and buy like chicken and chips, they've added a 2% tax on that. It's crazy. I hope you're watching me. When Rehoboam consulted the older men, you know, how do you think I should rule? They said, you know, young man, reduce the taxes. Your dad raised taxes and he's built an incredible kingdom with infrastructure development. And then Rehoboam went and asked the young guys, yo. And the young guy said, show them and tell them that what my father did is going to be like your baby finger. Look at a young man and say, think twice. And so, again, I'm not sure what's happening in your wonderful country, in Nigeria. We were here in November. I was here in November for Bishop Okwankwo. And within a few days, the Naira, I don't know. We must pray for your country, amen. You will not be like Zimbabwe.
Amen.
Don't leave Nigeria to go to London and to go to America. Stay here and build your country. Amen. And so managing change then is a key component for success in your life. Every credible ministry should have a multi-generational plan, which should include the succession plans of who and what is coming after you are gone. This is not just true of a ministry, a church. It's true of a family. It's true of a ministry. It's true of a government. When we have governments change through free and fair elections. I think I had too much coffee this morning. It's amazing that the new government that comes in to prove a point want to change everything that the previous government had put in place. And that doesn't help long-term maturity and growth and wealth development within a nation. I was asked to speak at a conference in South Africa about 10 years ago, and the impression I was given was young black African entrepreneurs that were starting up. But when I got to the meeting, it was 100 individuals in the meeting. 98 of those individuals were white men. And when I did a quick survey, all of those men were fifth generation farmers and business owners. 5 generations of wealth. So then I had to change my message, because I'm only a second generation or first generation manager of wealth. And so then I began to appeal to those individuals to help indigenous South Africans, show them how to build long term, how to wait and not squander your money on a Range Rover. It's such a cheap car anyway. And so I've compiled 12 M's for change. Let's put them up. The man, the method, the mandate, the mission, the message, the ministry, the money, management, monitor, mentor, strong mentality, and then number 12, manic passion. There has to be passion. So we'll start with the first one. God always uses a human being, a man slash woman, to fulfill his purpose in the earth. Because God is going to use you as a man slash a woman for ministry, it is important that you have preparation in your life. 41 verse 28 of Isaiah, he said, I looked and there was no man, which is quite stunning for God to look in an entire nation and not find an eligible individual. Preparation is key for every person that's going to be in ministry. Imagine you are being given a responsibility to manage gifted people, manage their money, manage their families. Last week or the week before, we had a baptism service, and I was very intrigued because a young man came to me and said, "You baptized my mother in 1978 and said, today I'm witnessing my child, my son, get baptized." And then I realized that we have four generations of people that I've pastored in my life. Now imagine if God is going to trust you with a person or a family and their generations, and you yourself, you are not complete. So preparation in your life is very important as a man and a woman. And so Noah had three sons. They spent 120 years together building an ark, and the message was the same. Abraham had two sons. One, a mistake, because he didn't get the right advice, I won't say from who. And the other one was God's purpose. Because when God chooses a man and gives a man a promise, we must trust in the promise of the Lord. And the scripture talks about Sarah. She conceived when she was 90 years old. And the miracle of God working with Sarah, my mother-in-law is 86, and we're a bit concerned. She's slowing down. She's eating less. And imagine, I was saying to Cheech, imagine if God gave mom a promise that she's going to have a baby. Everything that it's going to take to carry a baby, to feed a baby, I said, your mother's going to look really fine. Because everything that it was going to take to manage a big boy, there's a lady that gave birth in our ministry last week. They had to do a C-section. He was a really big boy. It was 4.8 kilograms. Yeah. And so all the tools to keep that boy alive has been provided by God. And so Abraham then has Isaac. Isaac has Jacob and Esau. Jacob has 12 sons. Esau develops dukes. And time goes on from succession to succession. There's Moses and Joshua. There's Elijah and Elisha. And there's Hagar and Zechariah and so on. Paul and Timothy and Titus and so on. All of these individuals are men that prepared themselves so they could be used by God. And preparation is going to be really key in your life. Use your first name and say, "Tudor, prepare yourself." Say that. Say that three times. "Tudor, prepare yourself. Tudor, prepare yourself. Tudor, prepare yourself." And so I'm entering into my seventh decade. And so I want to be relevant from 70 to 80. So what are the things that I need to prepare myself in so that I'm still relevant? I don't want to be twiddling my thumbs sitting in a wheelchair with no teeth, no eyes, no ears, no leg. That's supposed to be funny. I want to be relevant. As long as I have breath, I want to be relevant. My dad's father passed away at 96. I never ever saw him without a suit. Every morning he would wake up, he would walk to Quick's Garage, which is like 2.5 miles, maybe 5 Ks. He'd go buy a newspaper and a meat pie. Come, have his meat pie, read his newspaper, and when he, just after he turned 96, he would lie down in the afternoon. He went to go and lie down and just transitioned to the other side. I'm claiming that promise for my life. And so I might have to give up football because it's stressing me out. It's you. You jinxed us last night. This church needs God. There's too many football supporters in this church. Number two, you have to have a method. Before you have a man, I would recommend a method. Because a lot of individuals don't have a method. There's a huge church in Detroit. The pastor passed away unexpectedly at 54 years old. Just went to bed, had a serious heart attack, and there was no paperwork. There was no paperwork. The sons, physical sons and spiritual sons, whatever that means, fought amongst themselves and tore up a 30-year-old ministry into threads and pieces because there was no method. Succession must have a method. Get the paperwork in place. And so in our ministry, if something happens to me, we have a group of individuals that we've asked to serve as apostolic covering. Because as independents, you know, when you come out of an organization like I was part of, the organization, the institution has a system in which people are succeeded and the organization keeps on rolling on. But for many here, you might be a founder, first generation in ministry. You think you're going to live forever and therefore the paperwork is not done. There's a fight over the building, a fight over the money, a fight over the pulpit. And so it's important that you get your paperwork in order. Get that right, because the method for succession is important. Make sure that your constitution, whatever are your governing documents, make sure that those are in place. If you have a board of directors, make sure those directors are on the same page, so that in the event that anything happens, the church is not going to be broken into pieces. It will be a tragedy after 50 years of ministry and I transition to the other side that the work falls apart. It will be a total tragedy. As I said to Chichi, I said, Chichi, if I die before you, if you marry an Indian man, I'll get up from the grave. Because my grandfather was Indian. My grandfather was Indian. He was born in Surat. He left as a very young man from India. And when he married my grandmother, she was 16. Between them, they had 13 children. I said to her, do not marry an Indian man. And so, as founders, if anything happens to me as an individual, there's paperwork in place that Chichi will be taken care of. Because we've seen too many first ladies whose husband unfortunately passes away, somebody comes in and disregards the first lady. That will not be so among us. Let me say that in English. That will not be so among us. This is not a prophetic message. It's a guideline. You will be blessed with very long life. Amen. You will witness Liverpool win 10 Premier Leagues. And you will witness Manchester United relegated. Number three. The red devils. Number three, the mandate. It is important that the individuals that are selected to run in your ministry or succeed in the ministry, especially if you have an organization that has spread throughout the world. I was at our Jabula conference in the United States, and I met our new delegates, because Jabula is now in 32 countries. And I met the delegates from Argentina, from Colombia, some from Chile, Venezuela, the entire South American group came. And I felt quite odd, because some of them said, we've watched you on television, we just want to just touch you to find out if you are a real person. And they wept and wept. I was too overwhelmed. And I wept even harder than they did. And so the way I was weeping, they thought they had done something wrong. And anyway, the thing is that we sat all of them down and said, this is the way this ministry is going to function. If anything happens to me or happens to our leadership, these are the things you have to do. And in your selection process of leadership following you is extremely important. Make sure that you have a young man, a young woman that has been trained, that's orderly, that doesn't have any baggage. No baggage. Please make sure that you find your Timothys and your Titus and your Epaphroditus and your Epaphras and pour into them significant principles for ministry. Number four, mission. Mission. It is important for each ministry to stay true to the mission that God has given. There's an organization in Zimbabwe. Something went drastically wrong during their organization's elections. And the dispute was so vociferous that a major organization of almost 3 million people in Zimbabwe, which is massive for a country that has 14 million people, split in the middle. One went this side, the other went this side, the third group with the men and the women in the middle. There's still squabbles over the buildings, squabbles over money. Some buildings have been locked. The court has got involved because somebody dropped the ball in terms of their mission. A ministry that was started in 1902. By John G. Lake. He's spinning in his grave to see what individuals have done because they've lost the mission. The mission is a vocation. It's a calling. It's something that a religious organization must make sure they fulfill. Not just preaching the gospel to the whole world, but making sure those that you preach to are secured and saved. Number five, the message. What is the message? What is the message? What does your ministry teach? And I think for especially the 21st century young pastors that are given to trinkets and little cup prophecies and have become thingified, so they are a mile wide and an inch deep. One thing that I can promise you as a true believer, and one thing I can promise you as a true leader, you will suffer. Ministries and individuals who have never suffered, I don't trust. I don't trust a person that has never been cut. I don't trust a person who has never been cut. If you've not experienced betrayal, you will experience it. If you've not experienced loss, you will experience it. Christians want to wear a cross, but they don't want to get on the cross. You have to learn how to suffer. He learned obedience through the things he suffered. Obedience through the things he suffered. There's a young man that years ago said the Lord had called him to have a ministry like Reinhard Bonnke and asked me, he said, Bishop, can you please receive the souls that the Lord trusts in my life as a young little sapling? And he said he'd like to leave at the end of the year. I said, no. This is like in February. I said, no, the end of the year is too far. Kneel down. Let me pray for you now. Go and start if you're going to be like Reinhard Bonnke. Before the year was up, he had backslidden, he had lost everything because he'd never been cut. He didn't see the years when I and Chichi were walking. I was riding a bicycle trying to start a ministry. I remember one day I was going to see Mr. Rennie, the bank manager, and I had a borrowed bicycle. It was a lady's bicycle. I had one good suit. And as I was coming to Samora Michelle Avenue and Enterprise, I slipped, fell off the bicycle and ripped my trousers. This trousers is quite colorful. And it was torn. My cousin, who had just bought a brand new car, saw me fall. He stopped on the side of the road, not to help me, but to laugh at me. And so I got to the bank. I apologized to Mr. Rennie. I had to then help fix this lady's bicycle again. 12 years later, the Lord had blessed me with an S600 Mercedes-Benz. So I was driving slowly into town, and here was my cousin on the side of the road, hitching a lift. So I stopped. I said, "Would you like a lift?" He said, "Ah, Tudor, please, can you help me?" I said, "No, I'll send a taxi for you. They can come pick you up." You must forgive, but you must not forget. I need holy water. Number six, ministry. The most important thing for every person that's going into ministry is, number one, you must know your Bible. I am stunned as to biblical illiteracy, where individuals are in ministry and they don't know their Bible. Dr. Otterbill has a program in Accra with Central University. And everyone that's in ministry, and we're following in suit to combine those that are going into ministry, everyone that's going to be ordained as a minister must have an entry level of a master's in theology. And when he mentioned that at the CAA and our conference, it put us in a place where we had to be serious about ministry. Because there are too many individuals who are preaching that do not know their Bible. Number two, in ministry, you must be able to not just understand your Bible, you have to be able to interpret the scriptures. We have to be able to exegete the scriptures. Number three, there has to be a prayer life. There has to be a prayer life. And so right now, our church is on a January fasting and prayer program. And so I think the reason I'm so silly this morning, I must be hungry. This kind only moves by fasting and prayer. Paul said, in fastings often, in prayers, in perils. All of those things are important, sisters and brothers, if you are going to be a serious minister of the gospel. Substance is more important than style. Substance is more important than style. And so the style that I have in terms of ministry came in the 80s. It's a style that we learned through various individuals working with Bishop Wagner, Bishop Noel Jones back then. We're just a few years apart. Bishop Blake, we learned a certain style of ministry. But there are people that have a certain style that have no substance. Substance is greater than style. You have to have substance. You have to be a person that has substance. You have to have character that develops your life. That's too much substance. I'm racing my times. Please pardon me. If you are going to be an international ministry, like many of you potentially can be, work on your vocabulary. Work on your vocabulary. As a man thinketh, so is he. And so the words of your mouth determine the blessing that you get. Death and life are in the power of the... So if you don't have a significant vocabulary, your world diminishes. Your world stays small. And so for ministry, make sure that you have a good vocabulary, that you understand the dynamics of power and of rank. Pursue spiritual targets. Seek to be holy, to be honest. Seek for wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And then number 7, and I'll probably end this one, is money. The Bible says money answers all things. The challenge is that a lot of us have not been trained how to manage money. Let me recommend a couple of books. George Clason, The Richest Man in Babylon. Tremendous book. It shows you how to plan, to save, to present long-term money. Anything by Napoleon Hill is always great in terms of success management and financial management. At certain points in your life and in your ministry, it would be expeditious. It would be important for you to have a financial planner to help you with long-term plans in terms of your finances. Because a lot of times, when I met Brother Osteen, I was actually preaching at a conference, and he was there. He had come in early, and so he was sitting on the front row, scared me, and he was speaking after me, and then he asked to see me afterwards, and I went to his offices in Lakewood Church, and he said to me, Brother Tudor, he said, you're a young man, you've got a good ministry. He said, but I'm going to teach you 3 things. He says, number one, love your wife. Look after your wife. Number 2, love souls. Love the people. He said, and number 3, manage money well. He said to me, make sure you put a certain percentage of money in terms of a reserve. Put that away, because there's going to come a time when there's a drought, and you are going to need money that you put away to help you. And so Cheech and I have planned for our church and for our lives that if I don't earn anything for 2 years, we can sustain our lives. So we are 2 years deep in terms of a ministry and in terms of a church. He said to me, Lakewood is 5 years deep. 5 years deep. That's something else. And so manage money well. Make sure that your finances are directed towards developing and training leaders, investing in technology, investing in, I think, for things like light and sound, that's important. African churches need good light. Because just looking at my face there, I look a little bit better than I normally do. Because if you have a dark, you look mean. So good light is always important. Good sound is as important as light. This church has some great sound. I've been to some churches. Number 8, management. Faith is the substance of Faith is the substance of. All right, okay. So, you are believing for a thing. So you are believing for a sound system. So your faith is believing. What happens when your faith now brings into manifestation what you've been hoping for? Management takes the place of faith. You have to manage what your faith has brought. Abraham, you are going to be the father of many nations. So Abraham had to manage Isaac when he came into being. He had to manage Ishmael, which was his mistake. Whatever you bring into being, make sure you manage it well. Manage it well. Turn to your neighbor, say management. Say that again. So let's deal with one-on-one. Number one, manage your body. I was so tired. I went to bed fairly early. And then at midnight, my phone started ringing. Manchester United people bothering me. And so I got up at 5 this morning. I put on my jogging stuff. And I try to run as often as I can. Because I intend to live for a very long time. So manage your body well. Don't fill your body with rubbish. Eat properly. Now this is needful. It's necessary. The reason it is because your best years, if you're not yet 50, your best years are coming between 57 to 65 years old. And you don't want to be raggedy where you got this big thing in the front and this thing behind you that you're trying to haul in. Manage your body well. Manage your mind well. Manage your information well. Manage relationships well. Take care of those relationships. Manage your leadership well. These are very important. Manage your time well. I'm not a TV person. I'm not a movie person. I'll just watch football once a week. I spend a lot of time putting stuff into my head. Because if I'm going to be on a platform with a Mensa Audible, a Micah Kwankwa, a T.D. Jakes, if my mind is slow, if my mind is weak, if I don't have information here in a short space of time, I'm irrelevant. So manage your relationships, manage your health. This is really important for everybody that's an itinerant minister. Manage your calendar. Don't put people in your calendar that are irrelevant. Decide who you want to see and why. And give them a short space of time. 30 minutes and the meeting is done. Because if you have more than 30 minutes to say, then you don't have a life. I went to see my doctor the other day. Annual medical. It's $200 for a 10-minute consultation. And I already predicted what he was going to say. Oh, Bishop, it's good to see you. Oh, how's the church? Congratulations on 50 years of ministry. Now, let's see. Oh, the last time I saw you, we need to do bloods. So, prostate, and went down the list. And so I paid him $200 for what I knew he was going to say. So I said to him, please, can you come to my office? I'd like to talk to you about something. He said, oh, I'm in trouble. I said, no, I want to charge you $200 for 10 minutes of consultation. Number 10. I'll skip number 9. Number 10. Mentor. Mentor. Pour into somebody's life. Pour into somebody's life. So I'm just using myself as an example. Tuesdays, I get to the office every day at 5 in the morning. Cheech and I wake up, we pray for an hour, I get to the office at 5. Tuesdays, my first meeting is at 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's my Tuesday. Anything outside of New Life Covenant Church comes Thursdays. Fridays is half day. It's date night. Wherever Chichi wants to go for dinner, I'll make sure I take her there. You don't do date night? I need a hole to climb into right now. But what I am saying is that when you begin to manage your calendar and manage your life, you are able to take something that you've built in your life to pour into somebody. Our youth pastor is an incredible young man. He's probably watching right now. We're looking at possibly getting him to be on staff full time. And I'm encouraging him. I said, you don't have to be like Chichi and I and go on a date night. You know, just take her principally, just go get some chicken and chips, do something special. Every year, plan a vacation. Make sure you take your honey somewhere. It sounds like that Dubai trip is coming up sooner. I'm taking Chichi to India this year. 43 years of marriage. I was telling Dr. Audible this morning that when we got married, I had $37 in my account. I had no money. Chichi's family were business people. They had some money. And while she was signing the register, I said to myself, what have you just done? And then I held her hand. I said to her, if you'll stay with me, I'll take you places. I mentioned Paris, and I also mentioned the Taj Mahal. So on the 20th of February, I'm going to be giving Chichi a kiss right outside the Taj Mahal. You better pray that she can breathe after that kiss. I don't know how you're going to fix this one. And then the last one, number 11. You need a strong mentality. You need a strong mentality. They said of Floyd Mayweather, Muhammad Ali, strong mentality. To live above the pain barrier, in pain, strong mentality. If you're shipwrecked like Paul and everything falls apart in your life, strong mentality. If your ship explodes and your ministry explodes, hang on to the biggest part of your vision. Because you land, if you build a ship once and it explodes, you will build it again. Strong mentality. Mental strength. And then last one, number 12, is manic passion. I wouldn't give 2 cents for a person that doesn't have passion. Passion, 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 passion. Father, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you for this great church. We thank you for the work that this phenomenal leader is doing, for the pastors that have come. We pray for the rest of the conference that the conference will be successful. May life be added. May Zoe be given. May strength be given. Cause many, many years to prosper way beyond the intention. Let this year be a year of significant breakthrough. Significant blessing, significant achievements. I pray, God, that for every single person that has taken the time in this first week of January to exceed the expectation. If you are a pastor leading a church, please stand so I can direct a few words at you. You are pastoring. Ministry is tough. Ministry is tough. It's tougher on the wives than it is on the man. Guys, take care of your wives. I pray, God, for every leader, every pastor. Take the little that they have. What Moses did with what he had. Transfer that into us as Joshua's. The Bible says that Moses was learned in all the knowledge of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Joshua didn't have that schooling, didn't have that training. But the Lord said, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. God is going to be with you. He will not fail you. Everything He's promised you and more, He will give it to you. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your understanding. Get understanding, but don't lean on it. Bless every minister. Let Lagos, let Nigeria be a greater nation because of the men and women in ministry here. Grant great grace. Grant great peace. Grant great anointing in the name of Jesus. Put your hands together, everybody. If you are in business, can you stand? If you are a business person, stand. Business people, that's all of the Nigerians. Father, grant every man and woman here an anointing to expand their business, to scale up, open markets. Father, give them the ability to manage the things you've placed in their lives. Continue to open doors. Grant great passion and great anointing. In Jesus' name, amen.